sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
And Father, I thank you for your blessings. And I ask now that you would anoint me, Father, as I deliver the word and the message that you've given me. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, originally I was going to title today's message, Bang, You're Dead. But I thought that some might find this title offensive if they just read it strictly as the title. So we've changed it to Suddenly, You're Dead. I want you to think about that a moment. Suddenly, you're dead. Have you ever thought about that? You know, in the world today, there are numerous ethnic groups. And some get along and some don't. There's an old song we used to sing in Sunday school when we were children. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Well, of course, I looked up the original words not too awfully long ago and found out that it was really red, yellow, black, brown, white. And all of the ethnic groups are included there. And I don't care who you are, though, or where you were born, whether you're rich or poor, we all have two things in common. Number one, we were all born. All of us were conceived the same way. None of us were hatched. And I know today in the modern world they're experimenting with test tube babies and stuff like this, but basically it still goes through the same process. We're all born. And number two, we're all gonna die sooner or later. Death is going to come to all of us. In fact, in God's Word, the Bible, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, And as it is appointed unto men that they shall die, or once die, and after that cometh the judgment. It's appointed to us to die. Death entered into the world when Adam and Eve committed the original sin back in the Garden of Eden. Now I know, especially some of you that are listening, say, well, hold it a minute, there's two people in the Bible that didn't die. There was Enoch, for example. Enoch goes back to the Old Testament before the flood. He's a grandson, basically, of Adam. And in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, we're told, Also Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was no more seen, for God took him away. God, what we refer to the word use, we use as translated. Some folks, I've heard preaching messages lately, especially about the rapture of the church, say that Enoch's the first example of someone being raptured, and that's probably very true. And then, of course, the second person was a famous prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Elijah. He lived in the 9th century, and his name Elijah means, My God is the Lord. And in 2 Kings, we read about Elijah, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And now when they were passed over, Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask, what shall I do for thee before I be taken from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let thy spirit be double upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked an hard thing. Yet if thou see me when I am taken from thee, thou shalt have it so, and if not, it shall not be. And as they went walking and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and did separate them twain. So Elijah went up by a whirlwind into the heaven. So Elijah is the second person who was translated or raptured, whichever you want to call it, didn't face natural death. Well, we find out that there still, though, is a time. Now, Hebrews chapter 9 says here that, so Christ was once offered to take away the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And in the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to deliver those who are eagerly waiting for him. Now here we talk, of course, we want to throw in the fact that Jesus, who died on the cross, was resurrected from the dead, and then went to be at the right hand of God, is what we're told in God's Word. Well, so we have now a record of two men in the Old Testament period that did not see death, as we normally speak of death. It says that in the case of Enoch, he walked with God, God took him. Elijah walked with God, God took him. So here they both did not face physical death. And of course, going by the scripture that we read earlier here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment, most Bible scholars believe that Enoch and Elijah will return as the two witnesses that are found in the book of Revelations. Now, Revelations chapter 11, verse 3 speaks of these two witnesses, and it says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now that's quite a long period of time there, about 3.5 years roughly. And then in verse 7 of chapter 11, it says, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast that cometh out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. Now, the reason a lot of people believe that these two witnesses that's spoken of in the book of Revelation are Enoch and Elijah is they come back and face physical death. Going again back to the scripture, it's appointed unto men that they shall once die. But you know, as we read earlier here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and it talks in verse 11 of Revelations, chapter 11, Revelations 11 through 12, but after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life coming from God shall enter into them, and they shall stand upon their feet, and great fear shall come upon them which saw them. And they shall hear a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they shall ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies shall see them. Now, you might say for a minute here, hold, what's this got to do with your title? You've talked about some things that are going to happen in the future, and there's sometimes a little theological disagreement as to exactly how things play out, and that doesn't matter. The Bible says these things are going to happen, and it's going to happen. I believe that with all of my heart. But what I want to talk to you about, the fact is that most folks don't want to consider the fact that at some point this physical body is going to die. Even going back to Enoch and Elijah, their physical body has got to come back and die at some point. And that's why we most likely believe that the two witnesses are Enoch and Elijah. But I want to talk about death a little bit. And I know death is not a subject that a lot of people like to deal with. They don't like to talk about it. In fact, I was talking to my daughter just yesterday, and we were bringing up the subject of death since a family member is in terminal condition, most likely, and we were considering some of these things, and I was thinking about this. And I was thinking back a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I got a phone call from a friend of ours who lives in another state. And we both had a good conversation with this friend. He was upbeat, he was excited, and telling us about some of the things he was doing and some of the things he was looking forward to doing, so on. And then just a week ago, I was reading some of his posts on social media, and he seemed happy and was having a good time. Then the next morning, I got a message from his wife that during the night he had passed away. I went back and I looked at his site, and I found his postings, posting just about an hour before midnight, good mood, looking forward to tomorrow and the things that were going to take place. But yet, just a few hours later, he was gone. No one expected it. No one knew that that was going to be the last words that he said. And as I was thinking about this and preparing in my mind for the message that we're delivering right now, last evening, which was May 22nd in Manchester, England, thousands of people were attending a concert. Out for the evening to have an enjoyable time. Most of them, from what I understand, were younger people, young adults, some children. Out for a concert to hear one of their favorite singers. Then suddenly, toward the end, as I understand it, there was an explosion. As I was preparing this message today, the last report I read, there were 19 dead. Just before we begin taping, I understand that the figure has gone up. Approximately 50 injured. None of them, when they went to that concert, were thinking about that they would not leave that facility alive. They were there for a good time. Probably the majority of them had plans for what they were going to do the next day. Some would go to work. Some would go to school. Some would be doing other things. But none thought that they would be dead. None of them thinking, this is the night that I will die. And let's face it, folks, we typically don't think that way. None of us do. Most folks don't want to think about the fact that someday death is going to claim this physical body until they're much older. And I really think a lot of people would prefer to wait to think about that until, oh, maybe they're in their 90s or even a little bit older, because it's not something we enjoy thinking about. And most younger folks especially don't even want to talk about it. You know, generally, you don't get a telegram or an email or a phone call or some other notification stating, today, you will die. I was just thinking there is a commercial for some particular type of medication, I believe it is, that runs on television. And it starts off with the person getting a notice, today you will have a heart attack at such and such time. Or tomorrow you will have a heart attack at such and such time. We don't get those warnings most of the time. Sometimes with a physical need, we will have a warning that something is about to happen. But is it going to be that event that takes our life? We usually don't get those notifications. But you know, the Bible, though, does tell us of a couple of cases where something like this did happen. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 20, Jesus talking says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And you know, there's nothing wrong with planning ahead. And many of us probably try or hope to plan something like what this guy did. We'd like to be able to say, I've stored up stuff. I've got things set aside. I can set back. I can retire. I can take it easy. I don't have to go out and work at a job anymore. I can enjoy life. But God said unto him in verse 20, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" We have no guarantee of tomorrow. There is no guarantee that tomorrow will come for any one of us. As I sit here delivering this message, there is no guarantee that I will get up tomorrow morning. As you're listening to this message, there is no guarantee that you will get up the next day. And I know we don't like to think about it. Young, old, in between, red, yellow, black, brown, white, whatever color you may be, none of that matters. Rich or poor, none of that matters. One day, it will happen. You may have warning, you may not, but one thing for certain, it is a given. It will happen. It will take place. But I want to talk about something else here now, because you see, only the physical body dies. That's the only part that returns to the dust. The soul, the spirit, they live on. They are eternal. They don't die. The question then is, where will they live on? Where will they go? Because when this physical body dies, the soul and the spirit, they depart this physical body, and they will be going to one of two locations. There's only two places to go. And I know there's one group of people that teaches that goes to a particular location called purgatory, and if we pray hard enough, we can get them out of there. But the Bible doesn't speak of that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus never taught that. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19, it also tells us of another rich man. It says, "And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared well and delicately every day. And also there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores." Those who are familiar with the Bible, they recognize the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And it goes on in verse 22, "And it was so that the beggar died and was carried by angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." and being in hell in torments. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. They both died. The beggar, it tells us, went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man went to hell. If you go on and you read the rest of the story, he cries out, "Oh, if you could just send Lazarus back to speak to my brothers. If you could just do this, if you could just do that." Not possible. Not possible. You see, there are two choice locations that you can go to. And guess who gets to make the choice? You do. You make the choice. Which one of these locations your spirit, your soul will go to? Will it be heaven? Or will it be hell? You most likely are not going to know very much in advance when it's your time to go. A lot of people don't get that moments where they can make peace with God. They can repent at the last moment. For many, that does not occur. I don't know the spiritual condition of anyone that was killed in that bombing in Manchester, England. But I do know this. The decision had to have been made before that bomb went off. They had no warning. So when that happened, the decision had already been made. So here's the thing. You can sit back and do nothing. Or you can prepare. The question you might ask is, how do I prepare? How do I get ready for that event? Well, you do it by asking Jesus Christ into your heart. And some will say, well, how do I do that? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means you've got to ask Jesus to come into your heart and life. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for among men there is given none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved." There is only one way to get to heaven. And if you're in a country out there listening to me today and you've happened to somehow get this program on the internet, and maybe you've grown up in a society that teaches a totally different religion, and maybe they've taught you the way to heaven is to blow yourself up and take other people with you, I'm here to tell you there's only one way to be saved, and that's not by blowing yourself up. It's through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is the only way to be saved. No other way. No other means. And I know some might say, "Preacher, I've done too many things wrong. Surely God won't forgive me." But 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we acknowledge our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He wants to save you. He's ready. He's willing. He's able. But you have to make that first step. You are the one that has to ask Him to come in to your heart and into your life. You're the one that needs to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. And if you do that, He will. He'll come in. There's no set prayer you've got to pray. All you've got to do is with all sincerity of heart say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin. And He'll do it. He wants to do it. He wants to save you today. Suddenly, someday, you'll be dead. I don't care who you are. Someday that will happen. Are you ready for that day? In the last few moments, I've told you how to prepare for that day, how to choose what your eternal destination is. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you don't accept Jesus, that destination is hell. If you accept Jesus, that destination is heaven. But you are the one that makes the choice. And Father, today I pray for that one that's listening to this message that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction in their life, will guide them, will direct them, and they will open up their heart and life to Jesus Christ and ask Him to come in and ask Him to forgive them of their sin. I thank You for doing that in Jesus' name. And I want to mention, I know you've had to go to our website most likely to listen to this program unless somebody's playing it back to you on MP3. But on our website, there's a page called Salvation, How to Be Saved. And it gives you these scriptures and some others that you need to sit down and read. We'll explain it to you. Jesus is waiting for you to make that decision today. Please don't disappoint Him.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.